That was really good stuff at the start. And my mate Mark was always like, just hit record from straight away in case you get some like nuggets at the start. And I already missed one.
What's the interest in women's basketball though for you?
I'm a basketball fan. I think that's the genesis of everything. And I applied for media for the Women's World Cup at the end of 2022, and I got it approved the same day that my niece was born. And it was just like, that's the best day of my life. Like I got like my niece was born. I was like, this is awesome. I'm an uncle now. And then that night I got that approved and I was like, wait, in one day I became an uncle and now I'm a FIBA accredited media member. Like that stacks up pretty well on paper. Then I covered the World Cup and I was like, I really like I've been a fan of, I want to say, the WNBA for 4 or 5 years and then the WNBL for 3 years. And I think the main like reason I hadn't gotten into those leagues yet is because the NBA just has so much stuff on all the time. And then I had this like point of self-reflection and I was like, if I'm really a basketball fan, then how am I only a fan of one league? And I just gave all like, I watch heaps of different leagues now. I think international competitions help you get into the domestic competitions. And it's like, it's just basketball. And I think that people have all these biases and these walls put up, especially with, women basketball players, women athletes. But like, as a finalist, I like, it's just basketball. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it's just basketball. They do all the, it's just, like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, it's just basketball. I can go watch it in person. I can interview these players. I can get these half an hour pod to an hour podcasts. And it's just like, it's people overcomplicate it, but it's just basketball.
I agree with you. I think the challenge is, and if I speak to guys who follow NBA, because NBA is massive, right, globally, and there are lots and lots and lots and lots of people that follow NBA and nothing else, so not even the NBL, certainly not women's basketball. Their argument is that the women aren't as athletic. There's no dunking, there's all that sort of stuff. So the reality of it is it's the same game, but it's played very differently. Like, and you obviously would get this. The women's is far more strategic and far more, I mean, look, they're super athletic and super skillful, but men and women are built differently, right? That's just the reality. So it is a different type of game. Which is where, and I think the NBA is very individual. I don't think defense is great, this is my views, right? And then I think for all of that in women's basketball, no matter where you watch it, it's played hard all the time. And I think in men's sometimes it's not. So it's interesting. So like, I'm a massive basketball fan as well. I'm not that interested in the men's game because of that. I don't like the individual. I like to see more of a team game than an individual game.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the thing that every other league in the world has that the NBA doesn't have, the runtime of an NBA game is like 2.5 hours. It's a 48-minute game. Secondly, the amount of times you have to stop because someone's crying in the NBA or like arguing about a call or like, Anthony Davis, how did you get poked in the eye again? And like the whole game has to stop for a minute or two. It's just like, toughen up, just play. Like, it's just like, you've got
And
the
look,
best job in the
I would
world.
say so many stops. As a fan, you want less stops and more play.
Did you play growing up?
I did, yeah. I played basketball was kind of my sport of choice growing up. I played basketball and netball, and I was lucky enough to be part of the Canberra Capitals for a couple of years in the part of their program in the late 90s, which probably shows my age a bit. So but I've always loved it. It's a great sport. And I'm 45 now, and I've just started back playing again with some
Oh, no
friends and
way.
stuff. So yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I guess I should probably introduce the episode. I
Let's
think I'll use a majority of that. I just got to figure out how to cut it.
Yeah,
But this is the W Basketball Show. I'm your host, Lucas, joined today by Christy Collier-Hill, who you've probably just heard her talking for about 5 minutes. her and I talking. And we'll get onto her professional life officially in a bit. But how are you feeling after you had a week and a half off work? And you mentioned you had a week in Singapore. How are you feeling after your time away?
Yeah, I had a lovely week in Singapore away with my husband, which was great. Little bit of a refresh and re-energise, and straight back into it though this week. You know, the WNBL, as much as the season is finished and we kind of look forward to next season, the work never stops. So at league level and certainly at club level, all the administrators at club level, you know, we all work all year round. And it's so 6 months on season, 6 months off season, but gee, as an administrator, it's a hell of a lot of work that happens in the off season, both at league and club level. So yeah, it's never ending, but a break is always good to give you a little bit more energy to keep going.
For sure. When you do take a break, do you usually try and get away, or do you like mix in a staycation every once in a while?
Try and get away. I think if you're out, I like to be out of the house, because if I'm in the house, I'm always thinking about things to do. So trying to get away from the house into a different environment is the best thing, I think.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, before we started recording, you mentioned that there's almost more work in the off season than during the season, because I guess you kind of build up the machine, and then once the season starts, the machine is running. Now your role is head of WNBL, which is just such an awesome job title. But yeah, what does that entail on a weekly basis?
Gosh, there's no 2 weeks. Interestingly, there's no 2 weeks that are actually the same. But I suppose in a nutshell, my job is to deliver the league, to make sure that it runs and that it is delivered, and also to grow the league. So I've been in the role about 2.5 years now. So I've had 2 full seasons under my belt in this role and going into my third. And one of the things I've been really big on in both of the 2 seasons I've been here is growth. So what can we do to grow the league? And realistically. So when I say realistically, I mean, you know, from a resource perspective, league and club land, we struggle a lot with resource, which is money and people. So what can we do with the resources that we've got to grow the league? And so that's always a challenge, because it would be lovely to have way more money and way more people to be able to do certain things. But, you know, we had some really big growth areas last year that we targeted and were able to get off the ground. For example, the WNBL app we got off the ground last year. We formally partnered with the WNBA last year and had the game showing on the WNBA app internationally. We got a heap of new international broadcast partners, which then, you know, were showing the WNBL in over 100 countries, you know, around the world last season, which was massive. We launched a new WNBL alumni program called the Trailblazers. We launched a formal partnership with Aussie Hoops to formally link the WNBL and the Aussie Hoops program. So all of that stuff was what I would term our growth initiatives from last season. So there's the league that's delivered, and then there's how can we grow it in some particular strategic areas. And they were the ones we identified and were able to, I suppose, successfully deliver last season, which, you know, when you think about it, they're all really good things. I mean, we always want to do more, right? But I think, again, probably given the resources that we've got, I think there's some really good growth elements that we were able to achieve there last season.
Yeah, so would you say that those were the biggest contributors to having success in the most recent few seasons, or I guess this season just passed?
Well, I think success it's a collective, right? So there's us at league level who are responsible for delivering the league. Then you've got at club level, you've got general managers, commission members, and all the administration that sits there at club level that work their butts off. And I've worked at club level. I was with the Boomers before. I was the Melbourne Boomers before this role. And it is a hard slog. It is around the clock in season. It is very, very busy, and certainly off season as well. So the work the league does, the work the clubs do, and the clubs work exceptionally hard, the work the athletes do, both on the court and off the court, all speaks to the growth of the league. And then you've got things, you know, I suppose stakeholders like the Players Association and the work they do, all of the sponsors and partners, both at league and club level, and certainly at league level, we've just got some cracking partners that really do not just partner with the league, but really promote it. And I know at club level, it's the same. There's just some wonderful partners right across the league. And then you've got media, right? So over the last two seasons, our media coverage has grown year on year, which is wonderful. And we've got more writers writing about the WNBL, more print for the WNBL than we've ever had before. So it's never just one thing, but if all of the stakeholders are contributing to genuinely growing and wanting to grow the league, then that's how it grows.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, you've spoken on growth quite a bit so far, and mentioned that you've been in this role for about 2.5 years now, getting 2 full seasons. Now I want to do a little fact check while we're live on air. You are also a member of the 2022 FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup Marketing and Communications Advisory Committee. Is that correct?
God, that's a mouthful. Yes, I was.
Rolls off the tongue. Yeah. I've wanted to ask this question since the World Cup, but I feel like I need a bit of like a sample size, and I need to ask the right person. I think now is the perfect time. How do you feel as though the success of hosting the World Cup has affected the imports the WNBL has been able to attract?
The imports?
Yeah.
Interesting. That's an interesting question. So there's no doubt that it has played an impact. And I mean, even the season we've just had, we had some absolutely cracking import athletes. You know, you think the league MVP in Jordan Canada, Airy McDonald, Nars Hillman, Didi Richards, you know, these are all WNBA stars, not just player stars. So did the World Cup impact them coming here? Maybe. I mean, we probably have to ask them that question. It certainly couldn't have hurt. I think the thing with the WNBL and attracting high quality imports is the league has actually been attracting high quality for a long time. It seems to get better year on year. And I think that's probably down to a few things, and perhaps the World Cup has had a part of that. But our league is, you know, arguably up there in, you know, second or third best league in the world, only behind the WNBA and, you know, perhaps a European league or two. We play in the summer. They can come over here. They have an incredible professional training and playing environment. Our coaching quality over here is as good as it gets. It's world class. So they're coming over, they're playing with world class athletes. Most of the Opals play. They're getting coached by world class coaches. They're playing in the summer. It's not like the WNBA where they play every second or third day. So they play once a week, maybe twice a week if they're lucky. For the most part, they get put up in great accommodation and provided with great living experiences, and then just get to experience the Australian lifestyle. So whether they're in Perth or in Melbourne or Sydney, wherever it might be, it's a pretty cool place to come and, you know, in inverted commas, work, which is what they're here for, but also get to experience Australian lifestyle. And then off the back of that, we do know that the athletes that come over here and that do participate go back and talk to others about it. So the WNBL has such a good reputation as a league to go and play in for all of those reasons. And it's more, I genuinely think it's a lot of word of mouth from the athletes that have been here in the past, and just also the general quality, right? You've all, Opals, like you say, WNBA players. We were fortunate in the last season to have a Japanese international. We had 3 Canadian internationals. So I expect that the quality of our import athletes will continue to get better and better year on year, especially as we start to have an even closer connection and partnership with the WNBA, which, you know, we will be looking to evolve that partnership in terms of what that looks like year on year as well.
For sure. So it's just like the continued ongoing success of the domestic product that you feel is like the biggest contributing factor.
I think so. I mean, there's no doubt the World Cup would have helped it, right? Yes. No doubt. It certainly helped just the general interest and coverage of women's basketball across the country. I don't know if that's the sole factor, though. I do genuinely think it's the experiences that those in the past have had. And we do, you know, we know when you recruit athletes to come over here, they talk to others, they'll reach out and say, hey, I know you went to Australia last year or the year before, what did you think? And very rarely is there a negative to say about it. It's always so positive. So look, even, you know, we hear from athletes as well when they go over to the European leagues, there's issues with things like pay, they're playing in the winter, it's freezing cold, so we know at the moment from a pay perspective, we can't compete with some of those European leagues, and that's just the reality of where things are at right now. So we can't compete with the pay, but we can provide all of that other kind of package rolled up, which is, you know, enticing for athletes, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure. And being able to deliver that product and like, yeah, to be like, you can be a part of this like world-class product, because it is, it's some of the best basketball in the world. I remember after a game in the Eurobasket, the Serbian head coach, Marina Maljukovic, I'm sure I'm not getting that exactly right, but she mentioned that her country, Serbia, needed a stronger domestic product. And she also said that you can't fix all of the country's issues at the international level. So I guess, you know, in Australia, to you know, stark contrast of that, we're ticking both of those boxes. And how do you feel as though on the international level, the Opals are not only representing, yeah, Australian basketball and the very best we have, but the domestic product we have?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Opals at the moment rank third in the world. Their success internationally over, gosh, however long now, has been phenomenal. You know, I know everyone was super excited when the Boomers won bronze at the last Olympics, and I was too because I'm a basketball fan, but gee whiz, the Opals' success internationally has been second to none. We've won gold medals at a World Cup, right? So genuinely, we're always up there in medal contention. We love that as Aussies because we bat way above our average in terms of, you know, our population size and so on. And so there's no doubt that the WNBL is a pathway to the Opals, and every person in the Opal squad as it currently stands either currently plays or has played in the WNBL. So it's a genuine pathway. The quality of that domestic competition, no doubt, flows on to then the international success and provides the pathway as well for a lot of athletes to go on and play in the WNBA. And I think this year, depending on who makes it with a few training contracts and bits and pieces, you know, we'll have anywhere from kind of seven athletes in the WNBA this season, potentially more. So, you know, incredible stuff from a I suppose, women's basketball perspective. But yeah, that domestic competition, obviously having that at a high quality is hugely impactful on how your team performs at the international level. And I had a meeting with the Japanese Basketball Association last week, and we're talking specifically about this, and they're debating about whether they bring imports into their league, which they currently don't have. And they're asking about how that works for us and what we think about it. And, you know, it's an interesting concept because, you know, in the hub season, in the 2020 hub for the WNBL, we had no imports because it was in COVID. And, you know, arguably, you know, it was as good as a competition as we've ever seen. And I remember thinking at the end of that, God, I don't know if we need them because Australian basketball is so good and our athletes are so good that doesn't make a difference. And then the imports came back the next season and I went, yeah, that it does make a difference because they are, you know, I mean, looks, lots of our Aussies are at the same level, I would say, as some of them, but it really elevates the league. It helps the league become a global league as well, not just a domestic league. And so I think it genuinely elevates it and genuinely improves the competition. So, which is what I shared with the Japanese league. And so whether they do it or not, I don't know. But it is interesting. And then you look at the evolution of domestic leagues and you look at what the NBL's done, and they have imports that can come, you know, from the FIBA Asia region. I think they can have up to four imports now, which is an interesting concept. I don't think we'd ever get to that because we do want the WNBL to be a pathway for Australian athletes and certainly for the Opals as well. Lots to think through, but I do think that the league is a great barometer and great platform for international success for our Opals. And I think they'll, you know, they should medal at this Olympics this year. It's just a matter of what colour.
Yeah, I there's a few things you said there that I wanted to come back around to, but I think at least over my lifetime, we don't have a better team than the Opals. Like there's these teams like have their moments and then they grow on that or they don't, or it just peters out. And then, you know, we always have some like Cinderella story, quote unquote, that's like, they could medal this year. The Opals should medal like every single competition. We should be on the podium at the end. And, you know, that might be a lot of pressure, but it also just might be that's where we are. Like that's where we are in the landscape of international basketball. Yeah, I got to speak with Kayla George before the season started, and she said, yeah, she just wants to get on the podium. It's the only thing she hasn't done. This was 2 weeks after she won a WNBA championship. So, like, first of all, why is she talking to me? But then also, it was also so awesome to hear that, like, as someone that has had this incredible career, how important that medal at the Olympics is, for her.
Well, they, you know, Kayla and Tess and the other Opals, the last Olympics for them was really difficult with, you know, Liz Cambage pulling out a week before and all the drama that was associated with that, really hard for them. And, you know, when it's a four-year cycle, when you're leading up to something, and you've put all this effort in and everything's in place and you're good to go and you're expected to medal, and then you have something, you know, quite so significant happen before. And which really impacted all of them. Like, they were heartbroken. They genuinely were heartbroken. And so they have a point to prove, especially those women that were there at those last Olympics. And I have no doubt that they will get out there and do that. And it's pretty exciting. And look, you know, America for both the men and the women in basketball is still number one in the world. And you know, rightfully so. But they're not unbeatable, and certainly in the women, they're not the men's team. I don't know. I saw that one, but maybe they are unbeatable. if Australia gets to the gold medal game and they play the US, that they're beatable. Our women are good enough to beat them. They've beat them before, so I can't wait to see it. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think Sarah Blitzov's. I had her on an episode as well, and she said that. I was talking about the China game in the World Cup, and she said it was really heartbreaking. But then also it felt like China making it to the gold medal match. I don't want to misquote her, so let's just say this is my interpretation of what she said. That was kind of the win for them. But the Opals really felt like if they were to make the gold medal match, silver wouldn't be good enough. And they wanted a puncher's chance to take down the States. But still, you know, you got the rose gold in pretty, I mean, on the back of Lauren Jackson scoring 30 points. So it was pretty awesome, that show itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I was at that game. And I mean, it's an interesting one with basketball, right? Because you make that gold medal game and you get a silver for losing the game. It's kind of bittersweet, right? I kind of feel at least with the bronze, you've won a game to get something. So I think that it was an amazing tournament. You know, LJ coming back, hitting 30 in that bronze medal game was unbelievable. And you know, there's no doubt they would have been happy with that. And that was off the back of the kind of disappointing Olympics. But they'll be wanting to do better than that at this Olympics. And they have the team to do it. So let's see how they go.
Yeah, so how are you feeling just as a fan, just generally as a fan of the Opals going into the Olympics?
Oh, I'm super excited, and I am a fan. I love, you know, watching the Opals play. I love how good we are. I love how many WNBA athletes we have. I mean, you think back over the years, I don't know if this is actually the case, but surely we're almost at the most athletes we've ever had in the WNBA. I know for the men it's the case with Aussies in the NBA. And so we're just elevating even more, I think, as a country. So watching all of those athletes, you know, I worked with a lot of the current Opals when I was at the Boomers, and, you know, Kayla and Tess and Izzy. So I know them, and I just really want to see them be successful. And also they're just great to watch. And look, I suppose the big question on everyone's mouth is LJ, is she going to play? And obviously I ask her all the time, and she gives me the same answer as the media, which is she doesn't know yet. Would love to see her play. I think, you know, genuinely, you know, I'm sure you watched the WNBL finals. She's playing as good as she ever has. She deserves to be there. She is in our best 12 athletes. I know she's just considering it with, you know, family considerations. So, I will watch whether she is there or not, but I'm sure there'll be a lot more interest if she is there, just given who she is. And I think that can only help with interest in the Opals and interest in, you know, women's basketball off the back of it as well.
Yeah, and like, not only is she one of our 12 best players still, there's just like this experience and this calm and this poise that she has that I feel like in the Brazil game it was quite pronounced in the OQT. That seemed like a pretty intense environment, and just her being on the court catching the ball, you just feel like the team takes a breath. And no matter how that play ends up, the next 5 minutes after that is just like at this more controlled pace and controlled tempo. It'd be a huge bonus to have her on the team. And this is another thing you said before, talking about imports in the league and their impact. The final, and you just mentioned the finals. The finals were unbelievable. Mm. And Perth were up 1-0 and had a wide open fast break and two free throws to close it out and win against the Flyers and like win the league against the Flyers. And, you know, amazing shot by Mercedes Russell, buzzer beater to win game two. And then game three was just, you know, wire to wire south side. But I think the basketball fan in me was like, oh, you got to go, you know, it's got to be Perth. It's got to be Perth. You know, they're the underdog, quote unquote. And, you know, they're coming up against a stacked team. But then, you know, reflecting on the season, it's like, wait, that stacked team was mainly Aussies. Like they had great imports in Dickey and Russell, but like the majority of the rotation was mainly Australians. So yeah, I guess, yeah, growing the domestic product and like, you know, grassroots clubs and stuff like that. I think that ends up getting you the best possible quality league.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right on reflection, you know, quality imports in you know, probably both of those outfits in Perth and Southside, but great Australian talent around them as well. And, you know, we've got a great pathway in Australia for developing talent, which, you know, one of those being obviously all the, you know, the junior championships, the state level, national level, sorry, and then, you know, see at the COE, the Centre of Excellence up at the AIS, you know, producing just world-class athletes year after year, and then others that kind of take different pathways and might come through the college system. And, you know, Steph Reed, I think, is a great story about, you know, not making state junior teams and going to college and then, you know, being a DP. And then she has just worked her butt off. She's had great coach, and now, you know, she's part of the Opals. So there's no, I mean, there's obviously a pathway through that Centre of Excellence and AIS, but if you're not there, it doesn't mean you still can't make it. So I love her story, and that there are other stories like that as well. But, yeah, it's important to keep producing more elite level athletes. And so, you know, we do that here in Australia. We certainly have some support inadvertently through the American college system. But then, you know, we haven't touched on the WNBA draft that was last week as well. And two current WNBL athletes, one ex, you know, just some sensational, all three of those women, sensational basketball players. And how exciting is that really for the future? You think about the future of the Opals, the young women coming through. My gosh, very excited.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Poch and Borlase going to Atlanta, Shelley going to Phoenix. How do you feel about that? Poch was in the first round.
And I would say, clearly I'm biased, I think Izzy Borlase should have been in the first round as well. I think getting her at 20 was a steal for Atlanta. Because she's ready to go now. She, you know, she saw her WNBL season last season and her debut for the Opals. She could play WNBA now. I don't think she's going to go over this year. I think she's going to sit the year out, maybe go the next year. I'm not sure if Poch is going to do the same. I felt like a proud mum watching them get drafted, because I know both of these young ladies just through my role, and they're both, outside of being great basketball players, they're both just great people and great young women, and I think have a, you know, obviously going to have a really long career in basketball in Australia and internationally. And so it was just really, it was lovely to see their names get called. I think it's so cool that they've both gone to Atlanta, because what about the Aussie connection we've got there now with Gori as an assistant coach? So when they both get on that roster, which they will in time, a great opportunity for Australian basketball fans to watch these two young ladies play for the Atlanta Dream. And then Jazz Shelley going to Phoenix, and gosh, I hope she makes that roster, because it's a crazy good roster with great coaching, and she can play, like, she's a baller. So I'd be really fascinated to see her, you know, I suppose her trajectory. But, you know, she's a future Opal as well, and really exciting just for the, you know, the future state of the Opals, the future state of the WNBL. We obviously want all these young women playing in the WNBL, and we'll obviously hope that that is the case. But it just shows in, you know, in a, how many do they draft? 36 draftees, three of those being Aussies. Like, I mean,
true.
Yeah, we just bat way above our average, and we love to see it.
Yeah. I loved Poch's interview. She just had it all. She had, like, she's obviously very nervous, which, you know, you would be. You'd probably want to just be celebrating that moment. But then I feel like the rawness she showed was just, it was just awesome. It was such a nice, like, it was different from all the other interviews. It was just nice to see that. And then, Borlase is, I mean, I feel like her first minutes, either like Kayla or Tolo or maybe even LJ was on the court and she was like, get out of my way. I'm taking the ball to the rim. And did you were you at the Boomers at the same time as Jez Shelley?
No, I think she'd left just the year before
Oh,
I arrived.
okay.
I didn't have any crossover with her.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, it's you know, it always been a great time to be an Aussie basketball fan, and it's just getting more and more exciting.
The NBA moves so quickly these days, it's hard to keep up. Shams and Woj are breaking stories left and right, but the Quick Time Out is right there with them to keep you informed on the latest NBA news. Stop in and let us break it down as it happens. Find the Quick Time Out on the Deep2 Podcast Network.
On this most previous WNBL season, what are yeah, just general thoughts and feelings on the season that just passed, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think generally it was a fantastic season all round. It's the first season we've had without any, I'm going to say, major issues or major disruptions. So obviously we had COVID there for a few years, which was bloody hell for us and for all other professional sporting leagues, just a hard slog and hard to get through and, you know, really disruptive. And then, you know, the season before last, we had some really significant broadcast issues in the first 4 to 5 rounds, which were horrific. Then the season just gone, it ran really well, was delivered really well by all of the clubs and everyone who kind of works behind the scenes at the league. Broadcast-wise, it was really good. We had a great broadcast delivery and some really strong support from our broadcast partners in ESPN and Nine. Great media coverage, you know, like I mentioned. Quality of imports that we had were just exciting. I loved watching Erin McDonald and Jordan Canada play. They were just electric. And then in saying that, that then lifts the quality, you know, of all the athletes playing around them. I loved seeing the breakout seasons we had from a number of athletes. And we have an award, which is Breakout Player of the Year, which was won by Alex Sharp. But, gee, you know, could have gone. There were so many athletes it could have gone to. I think Amy Atwell had an incredible breakout season. I think Mila Goodchild had a breakout season. You know, Izzy Borlase arguably had yet another breakout season. Courtney Woods up in Townsville. So there were some athletes that really, you know, I suppose made their mark this season significantly. And so great to watch that. All of the teams are great to watch. And I think as a, you know, say as a WNBL fan in general, any game, there was no given in any game. So the difference between the top and the bottom wasn't big. And, you know, the Caps who, you know, finished, you know, didn't win that many games but were competitive in all games and are just getting better year on year. Despite that, they were competitive. So there was, you know, there was never a team that would go to play Canberra, I'm sure, which thought this is a guaranteed win. Absolutely not. And my God, the style of basketball that they play was so entertaining. And as a, you know, people who watched the Caps sold out their games nearly every home game. And they weren't winning. They weren't winning many games. So it speaks a lot to the type of basketball they were playing, the work they were doing in the community to engage with their fans. So in general, I think it was a great season. I had one of the journos reach out to me about, must be 2/3 of the way through the season and say, hey, you know, it's going well. What do you think? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, it's going really well. And they said, look, there's no drama. Can we do something to generate a bit of drama? And I was like, what do you mean? We're not going to fabricate anything. But, you know, for the most part, it was drama-free, which is on one hand good because we have a really good season that's been delivered really well by everybody. But on the other hand, the media was saying, well, we need something. And I said, hey, how about you just talk about how amazing the league is and the athletes are and not focus on, you know, drama. But I get it, right? They work in media and they have to, you know, sell stories and sell newspapers and, you know, whatever it is. So, but yeah, look, really pleased. We're just getting all of our, finalising all of our reporting at the end of last season, but all of our targeted metrics are up. So our media coverage, membership across the clubs was up 20%. Our digital engagement was up significantly. I can't recall the number off the top of my head. You know, the app will finish up with about 10,000 downloads in year one, which is just phenomenal. I think we engaged with about 2,500 Aussie Hoopers directly engaging them with the WNBL. So across the board in all of our metrics, game attendances were up. Most people ever through the doors in the history of the WNBL had over 150,000 people through. Our broadcast figures are still coming in, but that will be up significantly from last season as well. So it was a really good season of growth across the board. We are still way off where we should be. That's just the reality of where we're at with the WNBL. So we are growing, but we're growing off a base which isn't high. So at least we're going in the right direction. But then we look to, you know, almost like WNBL 2.0 is on the radar with some new ownership and governance and investment coming into the league in this off season, which is going to provide, it's not going to be a, you know, a magic bullet, but it is going to provide a real opportunity for the WNBL to not just grow, you know, at a nice steady pace, but to really take some leaps and bounds and, you know, put itself up in the top of the pile when it comes to kind of women's professional sport in our country. So it's been a great season, but there are some really exciting times ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, there's enough to celebrate in basketball. You don't need to drum up drama. Like there's so many storylines happening at any given point. But I feel like all eight teams have a direction and they're all building towards something. I mean, six of them had either the same record as or a better record than the Perth Lynx, who we just said nearly won the league. Mm-hmm. And then the other two in the Lightning of Adelaide and the Capitals of Canberra. Adelaide were struck by not having Steph Talbot for it would have been like 15 games probably or thereabouts. And they were still able to, produce a really good quality of basketball, having Brianna Turner just dishing out assists from the top of the key and then ripping down every rebound and then somehow stopping people that seemed like they had, you know, sometimes 20 kilos on her. And she did it like with ease. But they were just, I think they played a really good style of basketball and they still ended up going, I think, 8-13. And then Canberra, as you said, such an exciting brand of basketball. I think the term superstar is probably thrown around too liberally in the basketballing world, but they have a superstar in Jade Melbourne, and she's only going to get better. And then, Alex Sharp was just causing chaos on the O-Glass, and they were just they were in every game. They made it you couldn't just come in and take a win against Canberra. But I think it was that inexperience that at the last 5 minutes of every game, it was just like, there's a team of like, you know, young up and comers, and there's a team that's built to win and, you know, just go on autopilot until the end of the game. That must be great as the head of the WNBL to have all eight teams going in a direction that's positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, I mean, you know, Adelaide put Steph Talbot in Adelaide for that whole season and gosh, who knows what could happen, because you know they were a great team, and she's a world-class athlete, of course, like she's incredible. So and then the Caps, you know, hopefully they keep that core young group, the up-and-coming group together. And you know, Veely is a great coach and they clearly have a lot of respect for her and what she's doing there. And you know, the Capitals are an incredibly successful club over the history of the WNBL, and they're building towards, you know, success in the coming years. And every team has its own kind of strategy. And, you know, you saw Southside they went for experience this year and it paid off. Mm-hmm. They, you know, that the experience in that roster absolutely is what helped them get over the line, whether it's Mercedes shooting a buzzer beater or Leilani just controlling the game. You know, she got better as the season went on and just controlled the whole game. So, you know, a mixture of youth and experience clearly is needed. And, you know, maybe an experienced head in that Caps lineup might be good for them. Who knows? Who knows how they recruit for next season? But it is pleasing to see. And, you know, everyone wants to win. That's why people play. That's, you know, the ultimate goal for most clubs. But there's other measures of success in WNBL clubs as well. And when you think about, you know, I mentioned the Capitals before, sellout crowds, outstanding community work, great corporate sponsorship and government partnerships. So they're doing a really good job in that program, as are lots of the other clubs, which hopefully then will lead to some more success for them on court in the years to come.
Yeah, for sure. I remember that I lost my place about 10 minutes ago, but I remember where I was trying to go. We were on the WNBA and just the Australian representation, or even just the Australian connection that pretty much every team has. Like the Aces, Kayla was the starter on the championship clinching game. I'm sure that's enough to get a couple of Aussie Aces fans. Sammy's the Sandy Brondello is the coach of the Liberty. I mean, Chrissy Wallace in Indiana, they had Aliyah Boston last year as the first overall pick and then the point guard from Iowa this past draft.
Yeah.
Alana Smith now in Minnesota. The pair in Atlanta. I mean, Seattle is 60% Aussie every single season. I'm missing a couple of teams there. But, like, there's going to be so few games you put on and you don't see an Aussie probably get court time.
And I guess,
that's a testament to the quality of the domestic league as well, because so many of them have had reps in the WNBL.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing too, right? We've got a lot of athletes over there and they're not just they're players, right? Mm. Ezzy's a superstar, of course, but then, you know, Sammy plays big minutes at Seattle. Jade got more and more minutes, you know, last season, and I expect she'll get more. And then all the others that you mentioned over there as well, you know, that they play, they're not there to warm the bench at all. Mm. So, and again, it just speaks volumes for the quality of athletes we have here in Australia, the quality of the WNBL, the quality of the Opals program. There's a huge Aussie flavour in the WNBA now, you know, as you said, not just from players, but coaches. You've got Sandy over there, you've got Paul Goris over there. I expect we'll probably see some more coaches at some point in time go over to the WNBA as well. So it's a really exciting space. And I think the more the WNBA is about to go through another big growth boom off the back of the Caitlin Clark effect, which again can only help us here in Australia, both domestically and with the Opals internationally. So it's a really exciting space in general for women's basketball right now. We generally follow the States when it comes to these types of things. Basketball in itself in Australia through participation is just booming. It is absolutely booming. And then this the interest and success of Aussies in the NBA and the WNBA flows through then to Opals and Boomers and then to the domestic leagues. So, it's just about to boom. And I think even, you know, selfishly, I think Caitlin Clark, how do we in Australia benefit off something like that? And I think there's a couple of things. We're going to have Christy Wallace playing with her this year in the WNBA, which will be one part. But also, you know, Caitlin Clark was named in the US squad for the Olympics, and I'm really hoping she gets picked to go, because it just creates such media attention for women's basketball. And then also, if and when we come up against them in the Olympics, the Opals playing against her, my God, there's so much interest you can generate off the back of that. And then look, we can only hope, right? Why can't we get Caitlin Clark playing out here in the WNBL next season or the season after that? You know, that's what we should be aiming to do. So, you know, I just think the opportunity for us is enormous at the moment. We're on this wave upwards. I think it's going to be huge in the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's it. That would be awesome. Having her in Australia would be crazy. I think the WNBA has already rescheduled a few of the Fever's games from 12,000 to 20,000 seat arenas, because I think they've either sold out or they were tracking to sell out, so they just rescheduled them. And I think to go back to, you know, dramatizing the sport, the personality that Wally has, when you put that in the same lineup as, you know, Aliyah Boston, who's this very patient, considered very smart player, and kind of, you know, she's not that she's not like physical and doesn't, you know, you're not going to push her off her block, but I think she's a bit more of like a finesse big. And Clark is, you know, she's not even going to enter the arc and finish the game with 30 points. So then to get Wally just cutting like right through that as like the enforcer from the wing or the other guard spot, it's a talking point. It's a talking point for basketball fans.
It's going to be great to watch, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, definitely. It'll be amazing.
It will be.
Aside from getting Caitlin Clark in a WNBL jersey, you spoke on the recent success of the league, but what's on the horizon for the WNBL?
Yeah, I mean, it's really exciting times ahead, and you know, certainly it's quite public knowledge around the change in ownership model of the WNBL that's currently underway. So Basketball Australia, commissioned a report about 18 months ago on the status of the WNBL and a review of the ownership model and suggestions for a way forward to enable that to be successful. And where that's landed is that the Basketball Australia Board has endorsed a new ownership and governance model of the league. And what that will look like, I suppose kind of in simple terms, is that a new entity will be created, a new company. Let's call it WNBL Co for the sake of it, that will sit separate to Basketball Australia. So the WNBL currently sits directly, I suppose as a vertical NBA, wholly and solely owned and delivered by Basketball Australia, to allow it the capacity to grow the board. And through this research and review has recognised that it needs something different. And that something different is the creation of the new entity. Now, with that entity, Basketball Australia will still own a portion of it, a percentage of it. But and you may have seen in the media last week, the press release went out last week, we've appointed a lead advisor in Eagle Hawk who will go out in the coming weeks and months to set capital investment into the WNBL. And that capital investment could be one investment group, could be multiple. Could be individuals, could be consortiums, could be media entities. So that will create some capital for the league, this kind of new WNBL co over here, and really provide it with some resource, both people and money, to be able to grow. So there's a lot of work going on around this kind of new, WNBL 2.0 that we're kind of calling it over here. From my perspective, it absolutely was needed, and it's not to say that BA haven't, done a good job. They've done as good a job as they can with the WNBL over, the period that they've had it. But the reality of it is there are limited resources, both in people and money. So to grow, you need resources, right?
Mm.
So, take my hat off to the BA board and Alacrea, who's the consultancy that have done all this work and continue to work on this project. The recognition that something needs to change, the review of sporting models both domestically and globally and the recommendations of those models and the working through those models to determine best way forward. There is an advantage to us being, saying inverted commas, a last mover. We have been slow to this process, but the benefit of that is we've seen what all the other leagues, again, both domestically and globally around the world, have done in the formation of entities and what's worked and what hasn't. So there's a lot of learnings from that type of thing. The thing that excites me is the interest in the WNBL. So this has been on the cards now, 18 months, give or take, and we're now at the point where that lead advisor has been appointed. It is public knowledge that we'll be going out to seek private investment into the WNBL. The interest in the league of people, consortiums, groups, entities that are interested in coming in to buy a percentage of the league is off the charts, right? And I would have said if you would have, even 5 years ago, if we would have done this process, the interest would be minimal. Right now, the interest is like, it is just so exciting. And, I can't say much more than that, but there is such a lot of interest in it, and there is a lot of interest in it for the right reasons, in that they can see the growth trajectory of the WNBL. They want to be part of that. They want to contribute to that growth. So it's really, really exciting to see what that's going to look like. And so that when that process is finished, you've got an entity over here which is partially owned by BA, they retain some percentage. You'll have some private investment that's partially owned. You may have some clubs that own a small percentage of that. That's kind of still being worked through. And then sitting above that, you have an independent board whose job is wholly and solely on, the delivery and growth of the WNBL. So right now in the BA model, the Basketball Australia board has a lot on their plate, which is not just the WNBL. The WNBL is just one of, kind of 20 things that they've got. So having that singular focus, we know that's a model that works. So I'm very excited about that. I really genuinely want to see the WNBL be incredibly successful. We know that on-court product is already there, right? We know we are globally And you, like you said, you can go and watch a basketball game, a WNBL game, and it is as good as it gets. You are watching international superstars right in front of you. So the on-court product is amazing. It's all the stuff we do around it that we've got to grow, and this is going to provide us with the opportunity to do that. It's not going to happen overnight, but it, but you know, it, over the, you know, the next kind of 2 to 3 years, it will happen. So from my perspective, I'm just very excited, and I'm thrilled for, you know, everyone that's involved in the league at what this opportunity is going to present and where it's potentially going to take the league. I think, you know, again, I'm biased, but I think we have the best female women's pro league in terms of the on-court product in the country, and it is a genuine global product as well. And I think we should be the best women's professional league in the country. And that's not to say I don't want the other leagues to not be successful. I think we should all be very successful. But, you know, the WNBL was the first women's pro league in the country. And then, you know, we've been around 44 years and we've seen the introduction of netball and we've seen the introduction of AFLW and NRLW and the A-leagues. And, you know, for the most part, they've all leapfrogged us. And we haven't caught up because we haven't had the resources to stay with them. So this is why this new entity needs to happen and is going to happen, and it's why it's really, really exciting to see where the WNBL will be in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. It's an exciting place for us all.
Man, what an incredible response to, I guess this is a great place to finish it. I'm not going to try and add anything to that. That was awesome. I was so captivated while you were speaking just then.
You can tell I'm happy.
Pardon me?
You can tell that I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah, for sure. It's an exciting time. I'm it's making me look forward to it. I mean, if this is where the product is and you think that they can go to these like great heights, and the amount of energy and effort and just everything that's going into it, it's exciting, it's promising. It's exciting. It's great as a basketball fan, it's great as a sports fan, it's great as an Aussie. Like it's just awesome.
Yeah. It is, mate. It is. Like it is very exciting. Like there's a lot of work to do, but my God, we're going in the right direction. The global interest in the sport, the domestic participation rates, the general interest, and then, you know, this new WNBL entity, which is going to provide us with platform and resource to grow. It is genuinely exciting, and I can't wait to see where it takes it.
Definitely. Chrissy, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate that. That was an amazing episode.
Oh, thank you. You're very welcome. Anytime. Happy to chat.
Cheers. Thank you.